Hey, everybody. If you've been looking for love at first sight, it's closer than you think. It can be found at your local shelter. So this June 7th to June 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more and see full terms and conditions.
Look around. What do you see? Cars. Lots of them. And guess what? They're probably on AutoTrader. Whether you're into timeless classics or the latest trends, did somebody say solar-powered, eco-friendly, vegan, leather-wrapped, aromatherapy-scented, disco ball-equipped, self-driving car? If you see it on the road, you can likely find it on AutoTrader. Big cars, small cars, blue cars, new cars, used cars, electric cars, and one day, maybe even flying cars. With millions of options to choose from, buying a car becomes a whole lot easier. See it, find it, AutoTrader.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles Bryant, who is with me as always. I don't know what I'd do without you, Chuck.
Oh, man.
Like, seriously, it'd be like having a conjoined twin separated. One that has its head and is still alive.
So you were being mean to me seconds before we went on, and then you butter me up right when in front of people.
In front of people, yeah.
In front of hundreds of thousands of people.
I'm secretly very abusive to you behind closed doors, aren't I?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Chuck.
Yes.
My fellow ENFer.
Oh, yeah. We took the Myers-Briggs personality test.
Uh-huh.
Pretty cool.
We are, again, like conjoined twins, except for the distinction of the P and the J. I'm a perceiver. You're a judger.
Right. And I think we complement each other well in that regard.
I agree.
I'd actually like to do a podcast on that test.
Let's do it.
I think we should. Do you know if we have an article on that?
Oh, we'll just make stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally want to do it, though. I found it really fascinating.
All right.
And I did not think I would, and I was into it.
Let's see, maybe we can work swimming with whale sharks into that somehow, too.
Right.
We're just doing podcasts now based on personal experiences around the office.
Right. Tomorrow is going to be called Ham and Eggs for Breakfast.
Right. So speaking of around the office, Chuckers, as you know, we have a bunch of new kind of cool articles about Altoids.
Yeah.
On the site. Who'da thunk it?
Yeah, the Curiously Strong Mint.
You took my line.
Oh, really?
I'll kill you.
Sorry.
So, yeah, we've got a whole suite of articles. We have, like, a sub-channel in the Science Channel that's dedicated to Altoids.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Have you been on? You haven't been on it?
No, I wrote a few of them, though, and
right.
I know you did
yeah,
as well.
The final products look pretty good, though. Right?
I think so.
The focus, as you know, since you have written some, was on this strange little group of people called Tinnovators.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yes.
Well, let's talk about them in a minute. First, let's discuss candy.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Talk about Altoids, Chuckers.
Do you have candy in your mouth now like you did during the Twinkies show?
I don't. Let's address that, shall we?
Yeah, we got a few letters that came in that said, what was Josh eating during the Twinkies podcast?
Or even worse, why was Josh eating during
the Twinkies podcast? Yeah, it sounded like he had a Werther's in his mouth or something, or a candy.
Yeah, one guy guessed Werther's or Jolly Ranchers,
yes.
Right?
Not true. Josh didn't have anything in his mouth, and we've surmised that because we were talking about Twinkies, he was just frothy and...
It's weird. I went back and listened to it, and I definitely sound like I'm chewing on something. But
I
think I just really wanted a Twinkie.
I guess so.
You were too cheap to pick some up, weren't you?
Right.
Yeah.
So just to let people know, we're slightly more professional than to suck on candy while we're trying to podcast.
Despite our illustrious surroundings.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Although we do have we have candy on our desk.
We avoid it during. I think Jerry would literally murder us if we just started eating candy during a podcast.
Right.
Yeah. So,
let's talk about
Altoids.
Candy. Yeah. Yes.
I think I might salivate again.
Okay.
All right. So, Chuck, did you know that Altoids, these little mints, date back to the reign of King George III?
I know.
Who was the Mad King.
It's crazy.
Who drove the colonists to revolt.
1780, dude, people have been sucking on these mints.
Mm-hmm. Also, did you know that King George may have had a porphyria?
Really?
And
what is that exactly?
It's what's it called? There's acute intermittent porphyria, which is, I think, what they think King George had.
Uh-huh.
It's a congenital disease where porphyrins, I can't remember what they do. I think they get rid of waste, build up in your bloodstream, in your system.
Ugh.
And it can get kind of bad. It can have effects on the nervous system, It can have psychological effects, which is why they think King George was mad.
Oh, okay.
And the stomach cramping is unparalleled. It's really horrible stuff. But the porphyria you might be most acquainted with, I can't remember what it's called, but it's where you're photosensitive. You can't go out into sunlight.
Okay.
You can't be exposed to sunlight. It was featured in The Others. You ever see that one?
I did.
Also, that's where they think the vampire legend, or that aspect of the vampire legend came from, was from people who had porphyria.
Look at you. I thought you were going to say it gave them bad breath or something. That's why they created Altoids.
No, I think that was consumption.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, which was pretty big around 1780, which is when they were first created, right?
Yeah. And that's always, by the way, we mentioned the Curiously Strong Mint. That was their slogan from day one.
Yeah.
Because they use real peppermint oil and
apparently, and lots of
it. Yeah, lots of it.
Copious amounts of
it. It's hardcore stuff.
Oh, yeah, it is.
As anyone who's ever had an Altoid knows.
Yeah.
It does the trick, though.
Yeah. So in America, we love to attach weird pop stuff to candy, to food, like Twinkies.
Sure.
Kool-Aid, which, by the way, we should probably make that correction too while we're at it.
Yeah.
It wasn't Kool-Aid at Jonestown. It turns out it was Flavor-Aid.
Right.
I've done some terrible, terrible things in my life.
Uh-huh.
I've never felt more ashamed than I do for missing that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know, like I told the hundreds of people that wrote in and corrected us on that, sure, it was Flavor-Aid, but unfortunately for Kool-Aid, what matters is what people think of and remember and don't drink. And the Kool-Aid is what people remember.
I don't even know if unfortunately is the right word. It could be fortunate. I mean,
think
about it. How's Flavor-Aid's market share doing since Jonestown?
Yeah, exactly.
And so basically in America, we don't just eat things. Like, we eat things and then turn them into cultural phenomena.
Yeah, pop
right?
icons almost.
Right, exactly. So Altoids isn't any different. And it's not necessarily the mint, although agreed they are curiously strong. It's the tin that seems to like really get people's juices going, you know?
I mean, who out there hasn't had Altoids at some point and saved the tin and kept, you know, paper clips or spare buttons or rubber bands or something in them?
I don't know who.
At my house, Jimmy Fuller.
That's who.
Jimmy Fuller.
Yeah.
At home right now, I have a couple of Altoids tins on my desk with assorted little knickknacks.
Yeah?
Yeah, because it's, you know, it's perfect size.
It is convenient.
It snaps shut, and I think that's what led this whole tinnovation thing.
Right, well, yeah, technically that makes you a tinnovator.
A very lame
tinnovator. A lame tinnovator. That's exactly what I was going to say. But a tinnovator nonetheless, which I guess we should define this. A tinnovator, as we've turned up through our research, is somebody who finds new and novel uses for old Altoids tins. It's as simple as that. And it can be as simple as throwing rubber bands in an old tin.
Right.
But some people have come up with much more advanced projects.
Oh, yeah, you know, we wrote about a bunch of them.
That involve anodes and electrodes and weird stuff that I would electrocute myself trying.
Right. So should we talk about tinnovators?
I don't see why
should
not.
Should we talk about these people?
Yeah. Who you want to talk about first? Because we did, I have to say, Chuck, this could have gone either way, this assignment, writing these articles, but the people that we ran across, at least the ones I wrote on, were generally really interesting.
Yeah.
They were interesting people, and the stuff they came up with was very interesting.
Very
too,
creative people.
Which I was very thankful for.
Let's start with Jake von Slatt.
Yes, let's.
Steampunk.
Steampunk guy. For those of you who don't know what steampunk is, it's kind of this subculture movement that's based out of this subgenre, of speculative fiction that centers around the Victorian era and all like the fantastic contraptions that like Jules Verne and H.G. Wells came up with, right?
So like throwback stuff that's in fact kind of futuristic.
Right. So Jake von Slatt came up with one of the most recognizable steampunk relics ever, which is the steampunk desktop computer.
Yeah. Dude, have you ever seen it?
Yeah.
It's wicked cool.
Have you read the article that Jay Strick wrote? Jonathan Strickland, our writer, colleague, and fellow podcaster. We have a cool, cool article that's just on steampunk on the site.
I think it's pretty cool. I would never get caught up in something like that because any movement where you're dressing up and going to events is not really up my alley.
Right.
But I like to look at them when they walk by me on the way to their convention.
Sure, yeah. I'm more into fursuiting, but I can see how somebody would, you know, get into steampunk. It's interesting, looking from the outside in. But Jake von Slatt is kind of the de facto godfather of steampunk, but he also happens to be a tinnovator, too.
Right.
Right?
So he makes little steampunk tins Now, does he sells these too, right?
I don't know if he sells them. I think it's he's there's kind of one of the things that goes along with Altoids, almost across the board, is that it's open source.
Right.
So like Jake Von Slatt like puts instructions on how to do his projects up for free on his website.
Yeah.
Which I think is called steampunkworkshop.com.
Uh-huh.
Which is really cool if you have ever tooled around on it. And also some of the other people we'll talk about, especially the do-it-yourself electronic folks.
Yeah.
There's kind of this sentiment like, I created this project and I want to share it with the world and here's how you can do it step by step, which is
right.
really big about sharing
Seemed
information.
Seemed like a sort of a community.
Uh-huh.
And the couple of the guys I interviewed had, guys and gals, had gotten in touch with other Tinnovators and I'm kind of surprised they don't have a little mini convention at some point.
Oh yeah, just wait for it.
It'll happen.
We'll go.
Should we?
Yeah, we'll dress up as a chipmunk and a rabbit and go to the Tinnovator convention. Yeah.
So do you want to explain how he does this, or do you just want to kind of give
an
overview?
Yeah, what Von Slatt came up with. This is just one of his projects. He has other Altoids projects too. Since he's steampunk, he's big into Victorian stuff, so he chose an etching, a copper-plated etching.
Yeah, very cool.
And I was on his site just kind of getting the gist of it, so I could explain it in the article on him. It's called How to Make a Steampunk Altoids Tin. And he goes through all these really elaborate techniques to copper plate an Altoids tin.
I know. Pretty advanced and somewhat dangerous.
It is. It's very dangerous. He's using acids and chemicals and like hardcore epoxy removers.
He uses electric
and electricity.
And water
right.
together.
Yeah.
Which is always a little fun.
Yeah. I actually, when I wrote it, I copied and pasted the couple of paragraphs describing that part and sent it to him to see, like I said, I don't want any of our readers to be electrocuted. Can you tell me if this is accurate?
Right.
And he wrote back, he's like, here's a much simpler way to do it. So basically, through trial and error, he came up with the simplest method, which was good for me because I could comprehend it and wrote about it.
Gotcha.
So basically, what he does was he takes, what is it? He calls it blue vitriol, which is the Victorian era word term for copper sulfate, right?
So he uses the terminology too, the lingo?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, actually, he's steampunk to the core, buddy. But anyway, he takes this and just with a Q-tip, he dips it in the copper sulfate, rubs it on the back of an Altoids tin that's been stripped of its paint and buffed and everything, and it turns copper. He copper plates it like that. It looks really cool.
Yeah, it does.
But that's not the end of it, right?
No.
So he takes like a Victorian etching.
Yeah, a digital image of
a digital, like just something off the internet.
Exactly.
And then he prints it out on like a transfer paper, like press and peel or something.
What did they call press and peel in Victorian era?
I don't know. So not that though, buddy.
Press and peel.
Yeah.
Maybe.
What was that?
My Victorian era lady.
Was it really?
Yeah.
I thought that was Eleanor Roosevelt.
I think it was.
Hey everybody, if you're building a deck at work and you want to supercharge it, check out Canva Presentations. Work docs have been the same for too long, but Canva docs are different. They're visual. They grab readers' attention with images, charts, tables, and videos playable right in the doc. Plus, docs don't have to be just words on a page. You can make your docs pop with Canva docs.
That's right. And Canva Presentations are designed for every workplace and every department. Whether you work in sales, HR, ops, marketing, and more, Canva Presentations can be the solution for you. Sales decks, marketing presentations, onboarding plans, you name it.
Canva Presentations might be the most visually impressive presentations you'll ever use. Start with a stunning template, use it as a springboard for your design, adding images, graphics, charts, data visualizations, all from a massive media library. It's super easy to wow any audience with Canva Presentations.
So start designing today at canva.com, designed for work. That's canva.com.
Hey everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace.
So he'll take the transfer paper, put it onto the back of the newly copper-plated Altoids Tim.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, here's where it gets very dangerous.
Right, here's where electricity comes into play.
So he gets a 12-volt, 1-amp DC wall-mounted transformer, right?
Pulls one out of his pocket.
It's probably steam-powered.
Yes.
And he clips the positive side to the Altoid tin he wants to etch. And he clips the negative side to like a dummy Altoid tin, uh-huh. Just a throwaway one. And then, yeah, he drops it into a saltwater solution. He said 1 teaspoon of salt for every quart of water.
Right.
And I got the impression he wanted at least a gallon, enough to submerge the Altoids tin.
Uh-huh.
Throws it in there, turns on the power, waits 10 to 20 minutes, turns off the power. This is very important.
Yes, reaches in.
Right, and then removes it. And also, I saw a picture of it. It's cool. Like the water starts bubbling.
Yeah, yeah. It turns all dark.
Yeah, it's pretty cool looking. So he turns the power off and then takes it out, and he scuffs off the transfer paper, and it's been etched into the metal.
So cool.
Into this copper-plated metal. He buffs it. Adds some rouge, buffs it,
right.
Brings it to a high shine, and there you go, my
Such
friend.
A cool product.
It is really cool. And I mean, again, in the article, just from what I wrote, you can do it. In all the articles, we included a how-to
right.
make your own
yeah.
of what these people made, because like, it's open source.
Right.
But yeah, if you really want like detailed instructions, you can go sure. onto his site too.
Well, I think the fact that they, with all of these, I noticed it was the fact that it was an Altoids tin. Is what got attention, basically. Because I did one on this kid, Nick Brin, who makes little mini flashlights from the little small, I think it's the gum tin.
Mm-hmm.
And he sells these kits online. And kind of like your guy, Aaron Dunlap, mm-hmm. too, who does the USB charger.
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Brin with the flashlight, the mere fact that it was an Altoids tin made people go, oh, man, I got to have one of those.
Yeah.
Because it's really nothing more than a little small, tiny flashlight you could put in your pocket, like the little plastic ones you can get at the gas station checkout line for 99 cents.
Right.
But it's an Altoids tin, so it's cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Dunlap said that he created his USB charger just out of necessity.
Right.
It uses a 9-volt battery, uh-huh. like $1 a piece.
Sure.
And he added the USB charger and the connector and all that stuff, and he connects his smartphone to it.
Yeah.
And it gives it like 60 minutes of talking time or 4 hours of standby just from one 9-volt battery, which is
right.
cool. He also makes kits and sells them. And he said he had some left over from his first project. That's why he put kits together to sell them. And he said that had he chosen just a plain old off-the-shelf metal enclosure, he suspects he'd still be trying to sell the first 25.
Right.
But instead, he sold thousands and actually founded a company called the Electroids Company just to handle the orders.
Pretty cool.
It got picked up on like Dig and Boing Boing.
Yeah.
And
it's
he said it was the allure of the Altoids
Absolutely.
Tin that did it. Yeah. What is it about the tin?
Well, I interviewed Nick Brand and this other guy, Matthew Poach, who does a speaker. Like, you can plug your iPod into this Altoids tin and play your music out loud because he's drilled little holes like a speaker grill on the top of the...
What's that called, the Minty Boost?
No. That's the... it's called a speaker.
Oh, okay. Because there is an Altoids project. It's a legendary Altoids project by Limor Fried,
uh-huh.
who I haven't met or interviewed, but he seems to be kind of like this DIY Altoids
right.
electronics guru. And he came up with the Minty Boost.
Right.
A lot of people tip their hats to him for that
cool.
one. Yeah.
I think your steampunk guy kind of takes it to the next level, personally.
Well,
I mean, when you're etching a Victorian era stuff, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. He's a sub genre guy.
Right.
Or a sub
right.
culture guy. He's a steampunk Altoids tinnovator.
Right.
Which it doesn't get more niche than that,
no.
I don't think.
I had another, actually, one of my guys too. There's kind of two camps. You can either be artistic, and like we've seen some cool like shadow boxes, and I know one of mm-hmm. The ladies you wrote about did a Zen garden, which is kind of cool.
Kate Pruitt. She's very cool, yeah.
And then the other side of the coin is people that do a more useful thing like flashlights, speakers, USB chargers, that kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, there's an artistic side, And then there's like a technical side.
Right. But the artistic side, dude, I've got the man who I wrote about, David Zalbin. He actually does fine art.
Oh, yeah.
And makes big dough.
Nice.
So what Zalbin does, he actually uses the tins as his canvas. So he will mount tins, you know, pressed against one another side by side in a, whatever, a 4-foot by 4-foot frame and actually paint over them all. So what you have is a complete finished painting in small little blocks, almost like a mosaic. It's pretty
sweet.
Cool.
Yeah, I haven't seen his stuff.
Yeah, he's based out of Miami, and it's awesome, man.
Are the articles up on the site yet?
My speaker article is, and the flashlight article is, and the fine art article is.
Cool.
And the shadow box article.
Well, check it out.
Man, lots of Tinnovators.
I know. I wrote at least 10, I think.
Really?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of stuff about Tinnovators and how to undertake their projects. And if it was too involved, we just kind of kicked it to a site like Instructables.com.
Yeah, that's a great site.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Very in-depth, detailed stuff.
That's where you can buy some of these kits, too, if you're too lazy to do it yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the kit you kind of have to put together yourself, so that's fun.
Right.
Good projects for kids.
Yeah.
Win-win.
There was another guy named Matthew Pogue who came up with the Swiss AVR knife.
Well, and he's the same guy that does the speaker.
No, he made his speaker based on Limor Fried's Minty Boost. So he's like, he was just training himself in the art of do-it-yourself electronics based on other projects. But he's also a Tinnovator as well. And he came up with the Swiss AVR knife, which uses a AVR chip. It's like a, I think, an 8-bit processor, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And you can program it. It's reprogrammable because it uses onboard flash memory.
Right.
But using a little sound output device and some little LED lights, it goes through all these different mechanisms, like the mini menorah.
Right.
So, like, all the LED lights light up, or there's the, what's it called, the noisemaker.
Uh-huh.
And it just makes all these different digitized sounds. Fans of Kraftwerk would really appreciate that
right.
one. But, yeah,
Germans.
There's a lot of people are putting a lot of thought into Altoids tins.
I think it's cool. It's very creative.
It makes me feel like I'm wasting my life.
I know.
You know?
Well, let's go get some Altoids and empty them out and start painting on them or something.
Let's do that, Chuck.
Let's do some folk art.
Okay. Yeah, it's the easiest kind of art.
I believe so, yes.
Well, Chuck, that's Tinnovators. If you want to read more about Tinnovation, as we said, we have a ton of articles on the site. You can find those just by typing Altoids, I imagine, into the handy search bar on HowStuffWorks.com. Since I just said that, that means it's time for listener mail.
Yes, Josh, we got a listener mail.
Yes.
I'm just going to call America's Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, I like this one.
They took a bit of ribbing from us, from me specifically, in this Are Stupid People Happier? Because I put that show at the very bottom of the food chain, comedy-wise.
Yeah.
Getting kicked in the groin.
Yeah, oh yeah.
What's funnier? So this comes from Jason. Jason says, I just listened to your podcast, Stupid People Happier, and I loved it. Especially the part about the America's Funniest Home Videos. I thought you might be interested to know something that most people don't know about laughter. The following excerpt about how jokes work applies equally well to the AFV videos. And this is from The Definitive Book of Body Language, is what he quoted. The basis of most jokes is that at the punchline, something disastrous or painful happens to someone. In effect, the unexpected ending frightens our brain, and we laugh with sounds similar to a chimp warning others of imminent danger. Even though we consciously know that the joke is not a real event, our laugh releases endorphins for self-anesthesis, as if the joke...
Wait, did you just make that word up?
Event. No, that's a real word.
Oh, okay.
If it is a real event, we may go into crying mode, and the body would also release endorphins. Crying is often an extension of a laughing bout, and is why, in a serious emotional crisis, such as hearing about a death, a person who cannot mentally accept the death may begin laughing. Have you ever
had that
happen?
My dad's always said...
Yeah, it's interesting. It's right on the money. When the reality hits, the laughter turns into crying. So there you have it. You see a dude get kicked in the groin, and it's funny. That explains it all.
Yeah.
So I guess I am the stupid person.
Yes.
The joke is on me.
Chuck, you're pretty far from stupid.
And I think the only way to end this is for you to kick me in the groin.
I will do that. Come
That's
here.
The only way to do it.
Come stand right here.
No way.
All right. Well, I feel like plugging a few things.
Look at you.
Okay, so Chuck, we've got two pages on on Facebook. There's one that for Josh Clark and Charles Bryant.
That's us.
Or Chuck Bryant, I think it is. There's a Stuff You Should Know fan page on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
every Wednesday at 1 p.m., little known fact, except for like to 30 people
who
know this. Every Wednesday at 1 p.m. on the blogs at HowStuffWorks.com.
My blog.
Your blog. Chuck posts one every week called Live Webcast. Watch it here, right now. Something along those lines.
Uh-huh.
We do a live webcast via Ustream.
Right.
It's like 22 minutes long. It's awful, but
it's getting pretty funny, I think.
You think so?
Yeah, it's a little different. We do like news items and current pop culture things,
mm-hmm.
and I think it's kind of fun.
I'm proud that there's very little crossover between the podcast and the webcast.
Like, yeah, me too.
We're really working. We're like James Brown here.
Right.
So we have the Facebook pages. We've got the webcast.
Right.
We have the blogs. Mm-hmm. We have a Stuff You Should Know blog on HowStuffWorks.com. And what else? Anything?
Dude, we have our second celebrity fan now.
Oh, yeah. You want to give a shout-out?
Yeah. Well, we should give a shout-out to our first celebrity fan, who is Will Wheaton.
Hey, Will Wheaton.
Famous for the Star Trek series and Stand By Me, among other things.
He'll always be famous for Stand By Me. I was never much of a Trekkie.
Any guy in our age generation, Stand By Me is like one of the quintessential films.
Yeah, I agree.
A great, great movie.
Yeah, that dead kid.
Yeah. So, Ray Brower. Boom. That was his name.
Holy cow!
I just pulled that out of my head. So
blue bloated Ray
Will Wheaton.
Brower.
We want to say thank you for your support because he actually mentioned us on his blog,
mm-hmm.
his very popular blog.
Yeah,
and we just found out that Aisha Tyler is a big fan.
Yes,
the lovely, fetching, intelligent, smart, funny Aisha Tyler,
stand-up comedian.
Yeah, former Talk Soup hostess, and she was on Friends.
Yeah, seasons 9 and 10.
Played
she dated Ross and Joey.
Yeah, Ross and Joey.
Yeah.
And I think she's probably the only person to date both Ross and Joey.
I know. So. If she had done Chandler, it would have been a trifecta.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see, what else?
I think you mean dated Chandler, right?
Sure.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. So we're accumulating
two celebrity fans.
Yeah, that's pretty
and
big.
And I couldn't be more
that
stoked.
We know of. And actually, let's just go ahead and cut to the chase. Barack Obama, if you listen to these podcasts, send us an email, will you? We've always wondered.
We love you.
Yeah. If you want to send us an email, whether you're Barack Obama or not, please don't send an email as Barack Obama if you're not Barack Obama, though.
We know.
You can send that email to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Want more HowStuffWorks? Check out our blogs on the HowStuffWorks.com homepage. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, everybody. If you've been looking for love at first sight, it's closer than you think. It can be found at your local shelter. So this June 7th to June 9th, join the Pedigree Adoption Drive, and the Pedigree brand will reimburse your dog adoption fees nationwide. Pedigree knows that bringing a dog into your home not only opens their heart, it can open yours too. Visit pedigree.com/adoption-drive to learn more and see full terms and conditions. Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.